Thank you, Pastor Sarah. Hope you're doing well. We're going to jump right into our message this morning. Last week, we started a brand new mini-series named, we entitled Dealing with the Shift. We're going to be concluding that series this morning. And if you weren't here last week, you can obviously watch or listen on the websites and on YouTube and all that sort of stuff. But really, last week, we kind of broke open the series by talking about how, in a lot of ways, we deal with a lot of change in our hearts and in our lives and our world. And honestly, change is something that, as much as we would love to not deal with, we're going to deal with it. It's something that is a part of our lives, and it's something that we have to figure out the best way, and also, more importantly than that, God's way of dealing with those changes and those shifts in our lives. Last week, we talked about how in the baseball world, how a lot of the baseball players are now dealing with what's called shifting of the defense, and how if they are able to handle the shift, they're continuing to be successful. But if they don't, their averages are starting to go down, and how that we can, with God's help and God's direction and God's word, really be able to deal with the shifting and the things in our hearts and in our lives that we are going to deal with, that we're going to experience. Last week, we looked at the message or the verse out of Ecclesiastes where Solomon is writing and he's talking about how everything has a season, everything is going to change. And we really broke down that section of scripture and kind of looked at some encouraging words for us. And we're going to continue with that kind of idea and thought this morning. But before we really jump in, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you and we do thank you for this day and this time. God, we ask that as we look at these things together, that God, you would open our hearts to what you desire to communicate to us. God, you're so good, and we thank you so much for all that you are and all that you do. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be honest with you, I chose not to do this, mainly in some ways, because for most of you, this would not have been a big deal. Although we do it quite a little bit, I didn't think it would have the effect that I was kind of hoping for. But I thought about like actually opening the service by actually asking you to move chairs. Like, and some of you had been like, no problem, I can do that. Like, I know some of you actually move around all the time, and you like to kind of look at the service, I guess, from a different angle. And others of you, I mean, you kind of have your seat, and there's nothing wrong with having your seat or enjoying that. But I thought maybe I would say, okay, everybody move, and just to kind of watch the people that could handle that with no problem and the others that were going to have a nervous breakdown. I didn't do that, even though I could have. You're welcome. You know, some of you are like, oh, thank the Lord, I don't have to find another church. Others of you are like, no, no big deal, whatever. But here's the deal. You know, if I had asked you to do that, how would you have handled that? Some of you, like, no big deal. Others, it would have been a little bit of a different thing. And you would have been fine. I think probably I didn't do it because I was scared to death that all of you would just stare at me. You'd be like, I'm not moving. You can't make me, you know, that sort of attitude. You know, not that you are that way, but you know, it's like sometimes you ask somebody to do something and they're just kind of like, yeah, no, I'm good. And sometimes we can have that idea with change. We can have that idea with the shift that we deal with. We kind of have these moments where even though the change and shifting and things are all around us, we kind of decide, you know what, I'm going to stick my heels in the ground. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to deal with this. And in some ways, we kind of dig our head in the sand. The problem with that we need to understand is although your head is in the sand around you is shifting all over the place. You can't control that. And for some of us, we struggle so much. And in fact, I kind of talked about this last week, even those maybe that are a little more flexible or can handle those shifting a little bit better, even people like that, even though we can handle those things a little bit better, they can still be difficult things to deal with. And they're difficult things that we have to figure out. And again, it's one thing about dealing with it in a way that we can go, you know, wow, I really handled this well. It's another thing to deal with it in the way that God desires for us to deal with it. Because here's the deal. Here's what I've learned. Maybe you haven't, but you're going to. God's way is always better than yours. Why? Because he's a lot smarter. He loves you a lot more. And he has a plan for your life that's perfect. And so we can trust that and look to that even in the midst of our change. Our text this morning, we're going to go to the book of Psalms. We're going to be in Psalms 102. Now, before that, kind of, it's already on the screen because Michelle's so on top of it. But before we jump into the verses that we're going to be looking at this morning, I want to give you a little context of this song, even though we don't have a lot of context of this song. We don't know a lot about what is happening in the life of the writer during the psalm. We have some guesses, and we can obviously do some guessing from the length of the psalm. But what we've kind of figured out, even though we're not 100% sure, is it seems like the writer of the psalm is really dealing with some upheaval in his life. He's really dealing with some chaos in his life. He's really dealing with some change in his life. There is a lot going on that he doesn't quite know how to deal with. Does that sound familiar to any of us? And so as he's writing this, he begins to pour out his heart. And here's the deal. Here's something I want you to understand really early on from this message. And this is not going to be easy for some of you. Some of you, you could have totally moved chairs. But what I'm going to ask you to do as well instead is going to be even more difficult. We have to be honest with ourselves. Okay? One of the worst lies you can tell is the lie that you tell yourself. When you begin to believe, no, I'm cool here, I'm okay here, I'm not going to allow the Holy Spirit to convict me and to help me grow through these moments, because I'm going to kind of put up my blinders, I'm going to put my head in the sand and act like everything is okay. One of the things I love about this psalm, especially verses 1 through 11, the author doesn't do that. He's real, he's authentic, he's raw, he's expressing these moments that he's dealing with and the hurt that he has, the confusion that he has, the chaos in his life. And he expresses all those things. And if you look at Psalms 102, the first 11 chapters, man, you kind of see his heart as he begins to kind of share all these things. And then there's kind of a break, and he begins to kind of transition a little bit. This morning, we're really going to focus in on verses 23 and 28, because I believe in verses 23 through 28, he begins to shift a little bit, and he begins to reflect not on the chaos on his life, but on the God that is the God through the chaos. And look what he says. If you have your Bible, Psalms 102, we're going to look at verses 23 and through 28. And again, it's up here on the screen. This is what it says. It says, in the course of my life, he broke my strength. He cut short my days. So I said, do not take me away, my God, in the midst of my days. Your years go through all generations. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth. And the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence, and their descendants will be established before you. It's such an interesting idea, and it's such an interesting shift as the author concludes this psalm. And in a lot of ways, basically, he begins to kind of share some interesting observations for us. Now, again, we have to remember, we have to look and look back to the first part of this psalm and the chaos and all the things that he's dealing with. But I believe that there are two observations that we can make as he even makes them here in verses 23 and 28. That are so important for you and so important for me, especially when we are going through types of situations like he is in his life. Number one, there is no shift in God. Even though that you and I have to learn to deal with the shifts in our hearts and in our lives, there is no shifting in God. He says basically, God, you remain the same. Even though there's craziness everywhere, you remain the same. There is no shift in God. And that matters, and we'll see why in just a little bit more as we begin to unpack these ideas a little bit more. So number one, there is no shift in God. And number two, even though there is much shifting in the writer's life, God is a constant. Last week, we kind of talked about how we deal and how we trust and how we honor God through the midst of the change. This morning, what we're really going to begin to look at is the God that is the constant through all of it. You see, here's the thing. Here's what I found in my life, and I talked about this last week. Man, I am not good with change. I order the same thing. I go to the same places. I don't like to change things up. You know, like some of you, I know that like it's like, hey, I could put anything in front of you on the table and you would try it. You put anything new in front of me and I'm trying to figure out a way to leave the room. Because I'm like, what if I don't like it? What if it doesn't taste right? I mean, like some of you, it's like, hey, listen, I just bought this sauce, you know, that is supposed to make your face melt. And you're like, yes, give it to me. Give it to me. I'll try it. It's weird to me. So I'm not good at this. I don't deal well with change, just to be honest with you. And for some of you, you're going, yeah, I don't either. And one of the things that I've learned, even though we talked about some of the things last week that we can use and the principles that we can use, one of the things that is just as important that we're going to really talk about today is the fact that when all our lives are shifting, we can go to a God that's constant. We can go to a God that although the world changes and the situations change, he never changes. And here's the deal. We're going to get into this hopefully a little bit later. One thing that we need to understand, and this is just, this is part of the service where we have to stop for a minute, hit the pause button, and be honest with ourselves. A lot of us, in the midst of our change, in the midst of our chaos, in the midst of all the shifting, go to things that are completely unstable. And then we wonder why our lives are equally unstable. Okay? Let me give you an example. When things go crazy and things get hard and things are not what you expect, some of you run to your financial bank book. And you go, I'm okay because there's this much money in the bank. The problem with that's not a stable thing. You may have done all that you could to prepare and be wise and do all of those things. And I implore you to do that. That's awesome. That's good. That's biblical. But the bottom line is you can't control things just like I can't. And you can do all the right things and plan the right way and have it all still come crashing down around you. For some of you, it's your health. You look and you say, "Well, I'm strong, I'm healthy, I'm vital, I'm all these wonderful things." And I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over and over again. Sometimes the people that'll go to their just normal, it's I'm going to the doctor for my normal checkup, and they come and they call and they say they found a lump. It can be changed so quickly. Relationships that you're working on, whatever it might be. We tend to, in these types of moments, run to some very unstable things. Do you do the same? Because here's the deal. If I'm honest, I do too. And here's the deal. I can run to some really, really good things, but things that still are unstable. Things that may seem to be what I need, but ultimately, when my world begins to rock, they fall completely and totally apart. This morning, what we have to understand, what God desires for you and me to take, is the fact that he is a strong foundation. That he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That we can run to him and be safe. And find our security in him. So this morning, to really unpack that together, I want to look at three aspects of God that never change and that are an encouragement to us. So if you're in moments where you're kind of going, man, my world's a little cuckoo right now, my world's a little chaotic, the question is not sometimes does our world get chaotic, it's who do we run to when it does. Because there are some things that we can trust and hold on to that God will never change. Number one, God's perfections never change. God's perfections. Now, when I say that, here's the deal. As we kind of go through these, I'm going to kind of define my terms a little bit, as I typically do, so you understand a little bit what I'm saying. But when I say the word perfections, here's what I'm talking about. The sum total of who God is, including his attributes and characteristics. Okay? So in a lot of ways, what I'm talking about here, when I talk about God's perfections, I'm talking about who he is and what he is. And it's perfect. Okay? The reason why I use the word perfections is because those attributes and those characteristics are not just characteristics and attributes. They are perfection in those areas. You know, because here's the deal. Like, I would love to love you perfectly, but I am not capable a lot of the times of doing that. My love is selfish. My love is self-serving. My love is really kind of, in a lot of ways, not love at all. But when God says he loves you with a perfect love. His love is perfect. His faithfulness is perfect. His justice is perfect. His mercy is perfect. All of these things are perfection for you and for me, and they never change. Look at Malachi 3:6, the first part, a very simple, short little verse. This is what God says. He says, I am the Lord. I, the Lord, do not change. Everything that God is, everything that God was, in that weird way of putting it, he still is today. He can still be that way today. Look at James 1, verses 16 through 17. This is what he says. He says, don't be deceived, your dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. So you go, okay, Aaron, so that's great. I got it. So what does that mean for me? Let me help you with something, okay? One of the reasons, and out of 458 wonderful reasons why we read Scripture, this is another one. So that when you read about what God did in the Old Testament or through Jesus in the New Testament, we can know that if he did it then, he can do it now. If it worked then, it works now. What does that mean? It means, but Aaron, I'm really facing something difficult. Man, I really feel trapped. Interesting. Let me take you to Exodus, where there was another group of people who had an army coming from one side and a Red Sea in front of them. And man, they didn't know what to do either. And I believe that God just said, hey, Moses, do me a favor. Lift your arms up. And he did. And it doesn't say this in Scripture, but I just always pictured this, and I think it's cool, and I think maybe he did it. Where God just kind of breathed on the water. I always say that God did this. He went, I don't know if that mic picked it up. He's blew his nostrils, went, and just a from God caused the Red Sea to part long enough for hundreds of thousands of people to cross over it on dry land. I think God can handle your crisis. Because he's the same yesterday, the day, and forever. And remember this, don't sit there and believe the lie the enemy is telling you right now. Boy, I hate his guts. Well, yeah, but that was then, and this is now. Or this one, well, they were special, and I'm not. Don't listen to the lies. Well, you know, I have this situation, you know, my health, and man, I'm really dealing with all this stuff, and it's really hard, it's difficult, and man, I just don't know what to do, and the doctors have said this, and the doctors have said that. And I don't know where to turn. Let me tell you about this guy named Jesus who walked up to people who had never seen in their life, spit on the ground just to be funny, I guess. Even though I know there's some biblical, theological ways that this may be going on. But you know what? Sometimes I think Jesus just did it to be different. He spit in the ground, made a little paste, put it over the guy's eyes, said, go wash, and the guy could see again. Leprosy. Go get into some water. Dunk 7 times, and you'll be clean. That God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, they did it then, he can do it now. The God that was faithful over generations and over generations, that healed and forgave and did all those things. One of the reasons we read this Bible and understand God's word is because we understand that the same God that did it then can do it today. Same God. And for some of you, boy, you allow the change to come, and may you forget the perfections of our God. We believe those lies that say, well, God will do it here, but he won't do it here. God will do it for them, but God won't do it for me. And we miss that. And so what do? We run to other things. We run to other things that will never fulfill, that will never complete, that will never sustain, that will never be faithful and true and good and right and perfect and pure. We run to other things and other people. The same God who did the things that we study about, learn about, celebrate, is the same God that can do them in your heart and your life today. And for some of us, we need to remember that the perfections of God never change. Number two, God's precepts never change. God's precepts never change. What do I mean when I use the word precepts? I mean his law and his commands. His law and his commands, they never change. Look at Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, 7 through 8 says this. It says, the grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. It says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. It endures forever. We can know that because of what we've read and seen, because of the promises and the precepts of God, we can understand that those things are a firm foundation that we can stand on. Listen, we see this and this attack from the enemy all the time, where it's this tearing down of God's word. It's this idea that, you know what, God's word isn't infallible. It's not perfect. It's got flaws. It's got all these issues and things. And so you know what? It's a great little kind of self-help guide, but it's not necessarily something to build your life upon. And I'm telling you right now, hear me, that is a lie from the pit of hell. It is something that we desperately need. And we desperately need to understand that it never changes. Now, I want to clear up some misunderstandings, though, because I feel like sometimes we get some misunderstandings when it comes to God's word that I want to take just a couple minutes to look at together. So let's clear up a couple of these misunderstandings. Number one, when we say God's word never changes, we don't mean that translations have not changed. Okay? Now, here's the deal. I know there may be some people in this room, there may be people online, there may be people I don't know where that are going to get real mad at me right now because they have convinced themselves that one translation is the only translation. Okay? And I want to clear up this misconception for just a minute. Because although you can have a preference, and there's nothing wrong with the preference, we have to understand that as we look at translations, we need to understand that they're going to be a little bit different. And the issue here is not what translation you use. The issue here is what translation goes back to the original and communicates that in the best way that it can be communicated for the people that are reading it, meaning your preference. Okay? Let me take on a series of questions here. Do you think God's wants his word to be understood? Yes. Do you think God wants him to be self-revealed and glorified through his word? Do you think that God will sit there and say, nope, I don't want to be known and glorified because you're using the wrong translation? Stop and think about that for a second. Again, you want to have a preference? Knock yourself out. I have my preferences too. But listen, let's just be honest here. The King James Version was written in 1611. Is it a good translation? Yes, it is. Is it the only translation? It is not. And you want to throw rocks at me? Go right ahead. But I think I know a little bit more about how these things happen. And also, hopefully, maybe I don't know more about God, but hopefully I know a little bit more about his heart. And that was a great translation. There's nothing wrong with that translation. The NASB was written in 1973. If I brought somebody and I made myself a time machine, wouldn't that be cool? And I brought somebody here and I brought, congratulations, here, this person's from 1973, this person's from 1611. And I said, will you say these words to these people? I like ducks, they swim in the lake. Anything. And I said, okay, 1973, say it. They're going to say it a certain way. And then I said, okay, 1611, say it. Are they going to sound different? Yes, they are. Are they saying the same thing? Yes, they are. Translations can be different. It's okay. Now, here's the deal. I'll be honest with you. There's some translations I will not endorse because I don't think they do a very good job of going back to the original Hebrew, the original Greek, and the original Aramaic. If you would like me to help you and you want to hear my preference and my thoughts, please let me know. And here's the deal. I'm not trying to throw rocks at people that really have a strong preference. I'm just hoping that they understand there's a difference between God's law and man's preferences. And just so you know, that's a big deal in lots of other areas too. So translations are a little bit different. Guess what? There are Spanish Bibles. Thank the Lord. There are. I don't know if we have anybody here that's going to woo this one, but we have Italian Bibles. Okay. We have German Bibles. Okay. Guess what? Those are all different translations. And I think it's wonderful that God has desired to make himself known, not to a certain group of people, but to all people. Chinese Bibles, Korean Bibles, all different types of Bibles that express the good news of Jesus. Hey, maybe we should stop being so concerned about the words and start being more concerned about the good news that the Bible preaches that changes hearts and changes lives. So you know what? Have your preferences. Love your preferences. Enjoy your preferences. But don't misunderstand that. Don't misunderstand that God's word never changes, and we're not talking about translations. Number two, when we say God's word never changes, we don't mean that interpretations have not changed. Boy, I'm really just having some fun this morning. Interpretations. Listen, here's the thing. I've said this many, many times. I'll say it many, many more. We read our scriptures. We do our very best to interpret what those scriptures say. And sometimes we have some disagreements. And here's what's wonderful. One day, we're going to be in heaven with the Lord, and we're going to find out who's right, and we're not going to care. Because here's the deal. To be a believer, we have to have some beliefs that are pretty non-negotiable, that are black and white. And here's the deal. Sometimes in Scripture, there's interpretations that are a little bit gray. Now, we do our very best here. I know other churches and pastors and leaderships and denominations and fellowships that all, listen, they're doing the very best that they can to understand what God's Word says. But here's the bottom line. Sometimes our interpretations are just flat out wrong. They are. They're wrong. Sometimes, man, they're probably right on cue. We're right on thing. But when we say God's word never changes, we're not talking about interpretations that change. Because sometimes they do. Sometimes we understand a little bit deeper, or somebody sees this over here and sees that over here. Here's the thing. And you know, because I've had somebody ask me once, so Aaron, why are there so many denominations? Why is there so many different churches, you know, in our world today? And this is the answer, because we all sometimes have different interpretations. You know, but my question is always the same. Do we believe that Jesus was God's son? Do we believe that he came and he died for our sin? Then on the third day that he rose again, do we believe God's word is God's infallible word? I mean, we kind of go through these things. We kind of check off these boxes. And when it comes to some of those things, man, those are non-negotiable. But sometimes there are some gray areas that we don't always understand. It doesn't mean God's word is not perfect, and it's not that it doesn't ever change. It's sometimes we don't always understand these things. And it's okay sometimes to understand that. Because here's the deal, when we really take that and we really take God's word and his precepts and apply them to our lives, it can really change how we live, how we breathe, how we move, and all aspects of our heart and all aspects of our lives. I mean, I have a simple question for you that may sound strange, but I want to ask it. If we believe the Bible is true, how would it really impact our lives? And you go, well, Aaron, I believe the Bible's true. And I say, yes, isn't that sweet? So do I. And yet sometimes, some days, some moments, I don't live like it's true. And I'm not trying to throw rocks at anybody today. I'm just trying to have us remember we're being honest with ourselves. You see, because some days, there's times where I live in such a way where I go, you know what, I don't really believe the Bible's true. But if I truly do believe this, how does it truly change how I live? How does it impact my life? You see, for some of us, we have these situations where the change comes, the shift comes, and all of a sudden we completely forget what God's word says. We forget the promises. We forget the precepts. We forget all of these ideas and and instead of allowing them to take us through those situations, in fact, they kind of become even more of a negative. And we miss them. So if you really believe that the scriptures are true, it's one thing to get all excited and, yeah, that's right, yeah, God's word's good. It never changes. We can rely on it. Do we really live that way? Number three, God's purposes change. never change. What do I mean by purposes? Purposes are is the ultimate plan of God. The ultimate plan of God. You know, like when you think about our lives as individuals, it's like we are very, very, very small plans within the tapestry of God's ultimate plan. And I don't tell you that to belittle your little section of God's plan. I'm just trying to help you to understand the fullness and the hugeness of God's ultimate plan. Listen to what it says here in Psalms 33:11. It says, "But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations." What does that mean to me? It means simply this: no matter at whatever happens in my little section of God's plan that I kind of look at times and go, "Wait a minute, I don't like this. I don't agree with this. I'm not sure I feel good about this situation." All of those things are still perfect and ultimately bringing about God's ultimate plan, not just in my life, in the life of my family, but in my church, in my community, and in my world. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool to know that. It doesn't mean that we won't have moments of hardship. It doesn't mean that we won't have moments of difficulty. It means that even in the midst of those things, that God will ultimately win in the end. That he will ultimately complete the plans that he has. He will ultimately make all things new and great and good again. So now we're going to zoom out a little bit. Because obviously, you know, what we do is we kind of talk about ourselves, and so we kind of zoom way, way into our little plan and all those things, and knowing that God's plan for us is good. Now let's zoom all the way back. Because ultimately, I want to talk about real quickly, what is then the ultimate plan of God? How can we break that down to a very simple concept that we can always take and apply to every situation in our hearts and our life? And I believe it's simply this: God's purpose is transformation for the sake of glorification. Doesn't that sound kind of fun to say? Transformation for the sake of glorification. God allows the things that take place in our hearts and in our lives, sometimes good, sometimes hard, whatever it is, to transform us to be more and more like Jesus so that he can experience the glory of it all. You see, because here's the deal. Let's say school, you know, obviously school just started, and it's kind of cool because I don't know what age your kids are at, but you know, like it's you know, I don't know if your school, maybe, I know most of them do, but you maybe have a band, you know, like I have a band teacher or whatever. And I remember when I was in school, I took the band, or I was in the band for a couple years. And what's interesting about a lot of these kids that kind of joined the band is they've never played this instrument before, you know, like most. I mean, now there's always the one, you know, that's been taking lessons since they were two, you know, but most of them are like, "What would you like to play? I like the shiny one. Let's play that one. Yeah, I want to play the trumpet because I heard it once, or I want to play this, or I want to play the flute," or whatever, you know. And so some of these kids, it's like they've never even held the silly thing. In fact, it was interesting. I don't know if you know this. I played the violin for 1 year because it was just me as a kid. It was like, "Hey, they're doing a band. Do I want to play the violin? Sure, let's give it a shot." I was horrible. Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star was actually taped and recorded and now is used for torture. I mean, it was horrible. And one of the things that they had when I was a kid, and it was really smart, by the way, and it started in fourth grade, was at the end of the year, they got together all of the all the symphonies from the schools. So like all the elementary kids came together and made a little painful thing, band. All the fourth graders and all the fifth graders and all the sixth graders and all the junior high and all the, you know, and then they had all the high school band, and they called it the Festival of Strings. So snooty. The Festival of Strings. And they did. So he started off, and it was in the field house at our high school. And so here was the first group, and it was my group. And I mean, it was Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and oh boy. Here's something like that. And then they kept growing. And then they kept going. And then they kept going. And they kept going. And I remember hearing the high school symphony play. And I mean, it was just wow. As a fourth grader who just, you know, was just like, man, I'm never doing this again. Just get me out of here. It blew me out of the water. And I remember thinking, like, wouldn't it be cool if I could be transformed from this little fourth grader who couldn't play at all to this? I mean, what an amazing thing. And you know what I began to understand? I began to understand a little bit more why my music teacher was so willing to put up with all my squeaking. Because she understood the transformation that could take place over time. And what did that do? It brought glorification, not really, honestly, if you think about it, to the student, but to the teacher. For some of us, we have to understand that we are in that position where we are squeaking away and we don't always understand why God is having us do this or doing that. And it's simple. He sees the end product. He sees the transformation and the glorification that can happen in our lives when we allow the teacher to have control. And it's so interesting, because if we can understand that, we can understand a little bit more of everything that's going on in our hearts, in our lives, and understand them. Listen, the purpose of this, even though it's hard, or the purpose of this, even though it's glorious, is to transform me, not so that everyone can look at me and go how great I am, but so they can look and see how great God is. Transformation for glorification. If we can hold on to those words and those concepts, it can literally change so much in our hearts, in our lives. And so because of that, when we hold on to that and know that, we need to understand that when the shift in life happens, we need to ask ourselves a couple questions. If you haven't noticed in this series, we've asked ourselves lots of questions. So let's look at these last two as we kind of bring this in for a close. Knowing that transformation is there for the sake of glorification, when these things happen that we don't like or don't understand or are difficult, we need to ask these questions. Number one, how will God use this shift to make me better? Okay? Listen, God doesn't, and we talked about this last week, God doesn't roll dice and go, let's see what comes up for your life. God doesn't do paper, rock, scissors with you to figure out if something good today is going to happen or bad. God has a plan, God has a purpose, and He is using every aspect of your life to transform you if you will allow Him to do it. You see, that's sometimes the problem. That's going back to finding ourselves running to things that are not going to sustain us, that are not going to be stable. Because a lot of times, let's just be honest, we know we need to run to God, but we are so concerned and maybe even afraid of the transformation that God wants to do that we'll run to something or someone else. God is going to use these to make it better. So man, when the shift happens, when the change happens, when the report happens, when all these things take place that sometimes are so hard, we need to ask ourselves, God, what are you doing here? And how are you going to transform my life, basically? That's number one. How are you going to make me better? Number two, how will God use this shift in me to make Him look better? You see, one, of course, is the transformation. The other is the glorification. Because here's the deal. One of the things that is so vital that we need to understand is that God will allow these things sometimes in our lives so that others can see how we handle it and in turn glorify God. When we talked about this a couple weeks ago, when Jesus said, man, you're a light on a hill, you're salty, you're bright. You remember why He says that? so that people can see your good works and what? Glorify you? Nope, God. And so here's the deal, because here's the thing I know. Man, life for so many people is chaotic and crazy and shifting and moving, and it's absolutely insanity out there. And when we are allowing God to transform us, when we run to Him and cling to Him and allow Him to be our anchor in the storm, and when we are doing those things, people are going to notice, they're going to see it, and they're going to go, man, if that's who really God is, I'm in. You see, they're not going to be in when we run to the things they run to. Because they run to it, and here's the deal, they've already learned it fails. God wants to make you better, but He also wants to use your life to make Him glorified and known among people who are dealing a lot like this man who wrote Psalms 102. You see, sometimes we think, I know I do this, you know, we're real cute. We think that God allows the change in our heart and our life just for us. Aren't we adorable? Like God doesn't see the bigger picture. That God doesn't want to use your life and mine to make Himself known and make an impact in so many people's lives. But for some of us, because of how difficult change can be, we have issues here. We started last week by talking about how the shift in baseball has affected certain players because they've been unable to adapt their swing to the shifts in their lives. And there are some that have done better than others. For us as believers, as Christ followers, we have more than just an opportunity to get a hit for ourselves. We have an opportunity to allow others to see that hit and glorify and come to know Jesus, which in a lot of ways changes so many ideas and concepts, because now it's not only about us, it's about the world and the people that God has placed in our path to make an impact in. But for some of us, change is so hard, it's so difficult, it's our plans, and when God kind of has the audacity, and we kind of say that in our own minds, to change it or to bring things we're not expecting, man, we struggle, and it's difficult. And here's what I found, at least in my own life. We will run to God or we will run to other things or other people. We really usually will not stay stagnant. Now, maybe we do for a time. But eventually, we begin to run to things that maybe ultimately may even be somewhat good, but not truly what God has, because God truly wants you and I to run to Him. He is the unchanging God in a very changing world. Can we do this? We're gonna end a little bit different this morning. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? You'll open them up in just a second, but I want to talk to you real quick before we close, because again, we talked about being honest. And I just really feel that as I was putting this message together over the last couple of weeks, and especially this week, that God really spoke to my heart, and He just said, you know, Aaron, there are some people in my church that I love that have been dealing with some difficult shifts in their lives. Some hard things. Some things that are, quite honestly, not things that anybody can really handle on their own. And I just really felt like God said, they're not coming to me. You know, and it doesn't mean that people here, maybe somebody online, I don't really know. God doesn't say, well, you know, I'm talking about this individual. He just says that there are some people that I love. And I just know that at least in my life, that's sometimes me. Where I run to things that are so unstable instead of the God that is completely stable and never changes.
And you know what's interesting? Like, if I begin to look at my life honestly and kind of see things, and everything I've ever dealt with, and I can only speak for me, but everything I've pretty much ever dealt with, I can find correlation in the scriptures. When I feel alone, I can find people in the Bible that felt alone. When I'm discouraged, I can find people in the Bible that were discouraged. When I feel so many different things and experience so many different things, I can go to Scripture and I can see how they maybe did or didn't run to the stable thing, which is God. And I can see that, and I could go, man, God, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're no respecter of persons. If you would do that for Elisha, you'd do it for me. God, if you do it for David, you'd do it for me. But for some of us, we have not run to God. And instead, we have run to other things. And I'm just going to be completely honest with you, because I've asked you to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of the destruction that I have brought forth in my life and in my relationships has been because I did not run to God, but instead I ran to unstable things. And listen, you can walk out of here and you can totally ignore what God has already spoken to, I believe, to your heart. And you can say, no, that's not me. I'm good. I'm fine. Yeah, they're shifting, and yes, but you know, please listen. Hear me here. Do not let pride keep you from running to God. Do not allow that you think you can handle all this on your own keep you from experiencing Him. Because I'm just going to be honest. If you keep putting your faith, your trust, and your life into unstable things, your life will crumble beneath you. It's just a matter of time. And I love you enough to tell you that. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in other people's lives. It's interesting because we all remember, most of us do, that little story about the foolish man and the wise man, and the little song that we sang when we were younger about building our house upon a rock and upon sand. And Jesus tells the story that when the winds came and the water rose and the rain fell, when the changes happened, because you think about it, man, obviously neither of these guys were building stuff during the storm. The man that built it on the rock and the man that built it on the sand, when they built the home, the house was fine because the sun was out and it was perfect weather. It was perfect building weather. And they built it all up. But then things changed and there was a shift. And when that happened, and only when that happened, it became very clear whose life and home was built on something that would stand. And so you may be sitting here and you go, I'm good, I'm fine, and I'm just telling you right now, just like we talked about last week, there are seasons. And there's going to be change. And when it comes, your house, if it's not on Jesus, will crumble beneath you. Saying that's a little harsh. Yeah, it is. You know why? Because I love you. And I'm sick and I'm tired of people I care about. Their lives falling apart because they're not built on the rock of Jesus. On the rock of God and His Word and all the things we talked about. So I don't know where your life is. I don't know where you are in the midst of change or in the lack of change. I don't know. All I know is this. No matter if you're in change or will be changed, because that's kind of the situation here. I'm inviting you. I'm imploring you to don't wait for the rain. Build it on Jesus now. Build it on God now. He never changes. He's secure. If he was faithful then, and he is, he'll be faithful now, and he'll be faithful in the future. When he says, we say his attributes and his perfect, they're perfect, we can trust in those things. We can allow God's word to be an encouragement to us, knowing he did it then, he can do it now. All of these items, all of these things, that God's plan, even though sometimes it's difficult, is still ultimately transforming so that God can be glorified. We can take all of these things and let them be our firm foundation. Doesn't mean change won't come. It just means that we are holding tightly to what we need in the midst of change. I told you we're going to close this a little bit different. Today, as we kind of close, we're going to actually have a song. And I remember this song quite a bit when I was younger. And I don't know if we've done it here recently or not, but it's a song called Great is Thy Faithfulness. It's an older hymn with some unbelievable truth. And the first verse really kind of begins with this concept that God, you change not. Your compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. And to me, when I hear that song, and I hear it played, or I sing it, or I hear it sung, it just reminds me that in no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, that God is faithful. And I believe that in the midst of this song, that God is going to ask us, do you truly believe that I'm faithful? And if you truly believe that I'm faithful, will you come to me? Will you just come to me and allow that to happen? So we're going to do that. But also, I felt like this was something else we should do. We're going to have that song played. I'm going to, in just a minute, ask you to stand, and we're going to sing that song together as kind of a proclamation, kind of a thing where we're like, you know what, God, I believe this. But I also know that some of you are in the midst of some difficult things, some difficult change, some difficult shifting. So after the song is played, I'm going to come back and I'm going to close this in prayer. And then I'm going to go down here to this little left area, my left, your right. And if you just want somebody to pray with you, if you just, you don't need to come and explain it all, but you just need to come and say, you know what, Aaron, my life is shifting. I'm going through this, and I need to once again cling onto the Lord. And you just want somebody to agree with you. I'm going to be down front here, okay? And if you want prayer, come on up, okay? Because I know that for some of us, man, we're going through it. And we really need somebody to just lift us up in prayer. And I want to be available to do that. Okay? So if you would, let's all stand. And as we sing this song together, after the song, I'll come back and I'll close. As we sing this song together, let's just make this our proclamation. Let's just make this our calling out to God, saying, God, we come to you, we look to you, even in the midst of all of our change. Michelle, if you want to go ahead and play the song. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. God, everything I need, you have provided for me. Great is your faithfulness to me. God, sometimes it's so hard to sing that song or to say those lyrics in the midst of change, in the midst of unknown, in the midst of situations that are not controlled by us. It's so easy to sing instead, God, you haven't been faithful. God, you haven't taken care of me. God, I don't understand and I don't see why you would allow this to take place in my life. And those are true, honest feelings. But those honest feelings, God, do not change the promise of your word, which says You are faithful. You are good. You are love and peace and joy. You are those things in our hearts and in our lives. And God, this morning, I pray that even though we live in a world of change, that you change not. And that we can run to you. And so, Father, if there's anyone here or online, that God, they would say honestly, in the midst of my change, in the midst of my shifting, in the midst of these things, I've run to other things. And I have found, if I'm honest, just as much shifting and unstable as I've been experiencing in other areas. God, I pray that God, this morning, they will decide to run to you and allow you to be their anchor, to be their stability, to be their God. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, I'm going to be down here up front to the left, your right. If you're interested and need some prayer, I'll be here for the rest of you. I hope you have a wonderful week. I love you.